Hi, everyone. This is the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz TV, Season 3, Episode 9, The Doldrums. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow, and these are my fellow co-hosts.
I'm Emily Harlan. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at OMG. It's MLE.
And I'm Rachel Goodman. You can follow me on Instagram or Twitter at Rach Goodman or on Facebook at Rachel Ann Goodman.
All right, so we got a little bit of a remix this episode with the opening credits. We know where we're going now. I was like, oh, okay. Well, this is kind of like telling me the story before we get there, but it's cool.
Yeah.
So we're on our way to Jamaica, and first thoughts.
You know, I liked this episode all right. I wasn't, you know, totally over the moon for this episode, I guess. You know, but I liked that it was a little bit different than what we've seen the past couple episodes. You know, that it did take place on a ship, that there was a lot going on. But all of the, like, vomiting and, like, sickness kind of took me out of it a little bit. But I understand that they were kind of setting this up for, obviously, you know, a big thing that's going to happen with Claire and Jamie down the line. So I thought it was all right. I wasn't that bothered by it. I don't know. What do you think?
I was kind of a little bored by the episode, to be honest. I mean, I thought it had its moments, and I really like how Claire ended up putting her medical knowledge to use. But, and I do agree that the vomiting was very real. So the acting was great. A little too great at moments when I didn't really want to hear someone, you know, throwing up. But other than that, I kind of thought it had a lot of really dull moments.
Yeah, it was a quieter episode. I think, you know, when you're having those, like, transition episodes, when they're going to a new place, those can always be kind of dull. Like, the episode where Claire was, like, deciding if she was going to come back or not, for me, it was kind of dull because, like, come on, like, and let's get there. So I understand that kind of, like, frustration. But at the same time, we had some nice little moments for Claire and Jamie and for Yotintro, a.k.a. Mr. Willoughby. So, yeah, there's some nice little tidbits, and we get to kind of see, okay, so we are on this new adventure with them, and they probably won't be back to Scotland anytime soon.
Yeah.
It starts with them deciding to go after and get young Ian. They're rallying a few men to join McDuh, a.k.a. Jamie, on this voyage to the islands. And we discover that Fergus is also coming with a package from Lollybrook. And I was like, oh, cool. What's he bringing? Like alcohol or something?
That's what I thought, too. I'm like, he's bringing the booze? Cool.
Bring some rum. Yeah. Sell it on the side. So they get on the boat. And we discover that there's, like everyone, apparently sailors are very superstitious. Everyone must touch this horseshoe. And the fact that Claire's on the boat is bad luck, and nobody wants to talk to her, and she's kind of annoyed. And, you know, Jamie's like, yeah, but, you know, this is the world we live in 1770s, you know, 1770s. Yeah. And so as they're having a little tiff, and Jamie's like, well, are we still going to be together? And she's like, we can focus on Ian, and we'll get back to that later. Fergus gets on the boat with his package, who happens to be nothing other than Marsali?
I think Marsley. Marsley, yeah.
A.K.A. Leary's daughter, who is now also Fergus's wife. How did you guys feel about that?
That, to me, the whole hand clasp thing really threw me off. I'm thinking, you know, they said that they're married now because if you grab somebody's hand in public and say you're married, then you're married. And then you obviously have to go to bed together. But that just, I'm like, what in the world? That is such a weird thing.
Well, it's kind of like, jumping the broom, you know. And
I was surprised, too, because Fergus, the last time he was talking about women, it was him basically telling young Ian that he liked menage a trois. So I was like, okay, what's this guy doing married?
Yeah.
Everyone has a chance at love. They can have more than just, you know, willy-nilly sex.
Well, so, but I think my favorite part was when Claire was talking about it fizzling out, if they just kind of let it go. And Jamie was like, well, I don't know what fizzle means, but I'll trust you on that.
Yeah, no, I think that it kind of put Claire in a weird situation of, okay, well, here's my husband's second wife's daughter who hates me with Fergus, who I adore and is like a second son. And how to handle that. Like, well, maybe they are young and maybe they are stupid and maybe it'll just go away if we just kind of let it run its course. So I understand where she's coming from, but I also just don't need like a little Leary 2.0 messing up my episodes.
Yeah. And calling Clara
whore
every second. I know. Yeah.
And then Jamie deciding to put them in the same bedroom to preserve her honor. I was like, come on, man. Like, y'all ain't giving me enough sexy time, but then they did, so I'm okay. But anyways, it was shocking because there was nothing that we had seen beforehand that implied that Fergus had any interest in Marcelly or that they were on that course. So I don't know if that's necessarily in the books. Maybe the chat room does, but it seemed like something that I felt was kind of unnecessary to the rest of the story. It's just like another complication that honestly they really didn't need, because young Ian is gone and apparently will be sold for probably £30 if he keeps his head on straight. Yeah. I was like, why would that bring them comfort?
Right. And going back to that too, with young Ian, and they said in the beginning of the episode, Jamie said, oh yeah, I sent a letter to Jenny, like she's gonna be fine.
Yeah, they didn't tell them because they wanted them to not stress.
Yeah.
But they just assume they're going to France. I was like, that's messed up, Jamie.
But you would think that at this point, after...
He would know better.
Yeah, he would know better, because it's already been addressed that him lying to his family is not the greatest thing, especially with Jenny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The last thing she wants is another lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was kind of weird, but...
Yeah, we'll see how that ends up playing out. I think, you know, Jenny always has a reason to be pissed. I rarely get to see, like, a happy Jenny, so I'm not surprised that he...
Yeah.
Didn't handle that well. Oh, Jamie, someday he'll learn. Anyone in the chat room?
Yeah, we actually have a bunch of people in the chat room, so I'm just going to give a shout out to some people and then read some comments.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
We have Elizabeth Brown, Denise Wells, Hubby Joe, and G Amazing Croc Collector. And his comment I'm going to read because I think it's pretty funny. He says, or here's Jay, sorry. Acupuncture will have to try it. That was funny.
Yeah.
And so far, we have a couple of other comments, just people kind of talking about whether they like the episode or not.
Okay, cool. Yeah, well, we'll keep checking up the chat room as the show goes on. I wanted to kind of just touch on a few small moments with Jamie and Claire before we get to the rest of the bigger points. But, so they've been on the boat...
Like, weeks.
Weeks. Yeah. Well, at this point, it was 3 weeks at the first moment, the first voiceover. And then it kept going from there. Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that they did give her hair gray streaks by the end?
Yeah. I was going to say, So their hair's been growing. So, like, her hair's longer, his hair's longer. So I would say it's been, oh gosh, I want to say 3 to 4 months. Before we have the British encounter, or invasion. So we kind of get to see them have these close moments that kind of, I felt like, is a way to reassure the audience that, no, this isn't the end of the relationship. And finally we get to see Claire have a moment where she admits that she does really miss Brianna. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, how did you guys feel about that? I thought it was kind of nice to just have that touch, because she isn't really spoken of so much these past few episodes. I don't know how you felt.
I like that she said to Jamie, you know, just because my return here has been frustrating and confusing, it doesn't mean that I never loved you. Mm-hmm, you know, I liked that because it did kind of reassure. I was never under the impression that she was just going to be like, all right, see you, Jamie, peace. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't think that. But it's nice to kind of have that solidified and show that, yeah, they are going to have struggles and they are different people. Mm-hmm. But... they still love each other, and they're going to work it out. I mean, it's Claire and Jamie, right?
Yeah.
I did like the mention of Brianna, and I was kind of waiting to see if something else would come up about that, because I have heard in the books in the future she's coming at some point. Yeah. I don't know. So it was nice to kind of have a little bit of mention of that, and to I would have liked for them to talk about her a little bit more because Jamie obviously doesn't know her. And so I would have liked to see a little bit more of that, but time probably didn't allow, I'm sure, for the episode. But yeah, I liked that moment a lot.
I liked the mention. I like Brianna as a character, and so I'm pretty excited to see her come back into the show. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, like, I haven't read the books, but I've read some of the, you know, basically what the future books are about, like, just from Wikipedia, And it does sound like we're going to see her again. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty excited for that.
Yeah.
And I did like the fact that she did admit that she does miss her daughter. Because yeah. it would kind of be strange if she didn't.
Right.
No, and it was nice for that to come up through them bonding over, you know, Moonlight and her talking about... I was very surprised that she told him about future endeavors into space travel. I don't know if you should be telling. I was like, yeah. I'm surprised he's not completely freaked out that we're right. that far advanced 200 years from then.
Mm-hmm. I did really love the aesthetics of that scene, though.
Yes. Mm. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
There were a lot of really beautiful shots, I thought, throughout the episode, mm-hmm. just like with the lone ship and, you know, whether it was legit or CGI green screen, whatever mm-hmm. they were using. I just thought it was a really beautifully shot episode yeah. in general.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it was wonderful CGI.
Yeah.
What's that called? Scaping, when you create the digital version of things. No, yeah, I thought it was really beautiful. I really liked... They had sex, but that's not what I really liked. But I like a nice sex scene. But at the same time, I really liked that... when they're cuddling at the end and Jamie's like touching her hair, and they brought back the silver hair, which I was really appreciative of. I was like, I hope they don't. We know she dyed it.
Yeah.
So eventually it has to come back in some form.
Right.
And he said it was like, what do you call it? Like silver moonlight or something. And she's like, oh my God. You would kill in the 20th century.
Totally. I know. I'm thinking about that too. I'm like, yeah, that would be amazing. Can right? you imagine if a guy said that?
He would kill. You kill in the 21st century. Why can't men be like that? After this week, I'm like, give me a Jamie. It's been a rough week for sexual misconduct in the
really?
United States. Anyways, so we have those really beautiful Tinder moments between them. And we also kind of get to see Claire go full surgeon. Mm-hmm. And I guess my concern with that is that there's no... I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop and for someone to be like, why does this woman know so much? And why is this woman a surgeon? Maybe, I don't know my history, but...
Well, and I was just going to add to that, and why is she immune to all of these things?
Yeah.
You know? It's like, she can't get typhoid fever, but there have been a couple things throughout the series where she's been like, oh, I'm immune to this. I already got my mm-hmm. shots. I got this. So, yeah, when is somebody going to be like... Well, why? You know, how is this adding up?
Because it would be seen kind of as magic to be immune to something and not be getting sick like everyone else. So, yeah, I feel like it's one thing for her to be talking about it with Jamie because he sort of kind of might understand or at least not think she's, you know, a magical, creepy being to be feared. But other people, though, her just saying, yeah, I'm good. I'm not going to get sick. And just jumping in and, like, helping people. Mm-hmm. And knowing that the disease is called typhoid fever. Mm-hmm. I wonder if she... I think we had this conversation last week, too, how she might be adding too much information to people who might not know these terms. Mm-hmm. Might be dangerous for her, too.
Well, yeah, I think she can kind of play it off and say, well... You know, I'm from this part, or I'm from here, or I'm from there. And she does a good job of covering her medical proficiency by still using a lot of herbalist approaches. So, like, with the peppermint oil when the guy hit his head, and then with her making medicine, you see, like, the ginger and all that kind of stuff. So she has an understanding of, like, how to kind of make a cover for it.
Mm-hmm. We have a couple of comments in the chat. So... Denise Wells says, because she's the White Witch.
Yeah, they'll never touch her.
Yeah, of course. And Terry Drosselmeyer says, they are just so grateful to have a healer. No worries.
Yeah.
And Rosalva Cardiel says, Claire tells Jamie about lots of things in the future. Well, yeah, but that's different.
Yeah, that's her husband. So it's not, I think more so with, there's some things she tells him that only really cater to, like, his life. And then there's some things she tells him that, like space travel.
Yeah.
That's, there are planes don't exist at this point.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, well, that's a big thing to tell someone that we've, like, gone that far. And he takes it, you know, pretty easily.
I still want to see Jamie in the future.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
That was alluded to season 1, episode 1.
Yes.
That he might potentially come into the future. But
because the time would be off. That she kind of saw. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Or the.
Yeah.
Kind of saw.
I did want to say one thing about the scene with the surgeon when she's, like, going in full surgeon mode. I kind of loved how she he's like, can I talk to you for a second? And just the way she walked out was like,
that face.
Jamie,
like,
you know you're not going to get anywhere with this. Like, you know that she's going to do whatever she wants. And I love that look on her face where she was just kind of like, all right, yeah, I'll humor you for a second, and then I'm going to do whatever I want to do.
She's like, I'm immune, so you need not worry. I know what I'm doing, though I do wish he'd gone, but I understand why he didn't. I was like, no. But we'll get to that. So we end up discovering that Claire, even though she's a medicine woman, she's giving Jamie this ginger tea, that it's not really working for him. And I really just liked that they showed an appreciation for Chinese medicine through Yi Tin Cho with the acupuncture. Mm-hmm. And that Jamie is, like, super open-minded. to have this guy, like, you know, stick needles in his face. And he's like, okay, well, this is what's working. But as this is going on as well, we discover that the fact that this group of pirates, or no, sorry, sailors, is so superstitious, that's affecting the morale of the ship, especially when, you know, just random, unfortunate things keep happening, such as all their water turns bad. But all the water ends up turning bad because the ship gets a case of that's, I think, what they're referencing from the title is the doldrums, where they get no wind. Is that, I believe, is what they said?
I think they reference the doldrums just because it's a term that means, like, not moving forward, like stagnant, and kind of everything that's happening with them, like relationships and what's happening with this ship and, you know, all the troubles they're going through. But
but the term, I think, for in terms of sailors, the doldrums, is when the wind stops moving.
Yeah.
And they end up being stuck there for weeks in the middle of the ocean. The water turns bad. Oh, the guy falls with the initial head wound.
When we were watching, too, like, we noticed that even when they said there was no wind, you could still see hair kind of moving on the actors. So it was kind of like, no wind, huh?
You know, air conditioning, you guys, on sets, they can only do so much. They can only do so much to make things not look like they're moving. But I think they meant, like yeah, you might get, like, a gust of wind, but it's not enough to get the boat moving.
Move the ship.
So they decide, the sailors decide, that they want a Jonah. I guess, this is so superstitious. It's, like, way past any type of throwing salt over my shoulder superstition that I understand. Like, you want to kill someone because you think they're giving you bad luck, and that's the only way that you're going to get your sales to go. I don't know. How did you guys feel about that whole thing of, like, the Jonah and the casual racism, or not racism, but, like, prejudice that was going on, like, with, like, oh no, I'm racism too, with Yi Tin Cho, and even with Fergus calling him the frog. And
I mean, I, to be honest, with this time period, it wasn't something that shocked me to see. You know, it was like it didn't feel out of place because I'm sure that was very prevalent, right? But all the superstitions and everything were, I thought, a little, I was not aware that there were so many that happened in ships and that kind of stuff. So that kind of threw me off a little bit. And then also another thing that threw me off, just talking about, like, the culture of the sailors, that song they were singing too.
I was not listening to the
lyrics. It was a song about a lobster.
Oh, right. And then a woman's vagina.
Yeah. That was so weird. So there were a lot of, I felt like, throughout this episode, things that stood out like that were very strange, I thought. You know, like that song, the superstitions, this Mr. Willoughby's story. You know, there's a lot of kind of things that jumped out like that where I'm like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. That was kind of a weird thing. But, I mean, cool. Like, it was good to see. You know, like, I liked that character development.
Yeah.
But it was still, a little odd at times.
I agree with you. So I expected the superstitions and the prejudice, though, but it was still odd, I guess, because it's just hard to imagine people actually acting that way compared with what we're used to. I found it odd, and I just didn't exactly understand why. And the way they were kind of treating Willoughby, and also, I guess the other thing that kind of stuck out in my mind was him saying that if he told his story, he had to let it go.
Yeah, I think, well, let's go ahead and into that then. I think that was a nice setup for what Willoughby eventually did. So we end up, I believe it's either, I want to say it's Hayes that got cornered.
Yeah,
and was decided to be the Jonah. And he was going to kill himself. Sorry, I don't mean to laugh at that. That's not funny. But, like, it was just kind of like, it was just so extreme. And it seemed like I don't know, because I would kind of laugh it off, I guess, and they would just have to chuck me off the boat. Like, you wouldn't get me to willingly jump off a boat. So I was a bit shocked that even he, who has a different tradition probably from these sailors, was so taken into believing that, yeah, he was the reason why everything was going wrong. But we get to see Mr. Willoughby kind of observe as this is all going on, as Jamie's jumping up there and climbing and being Peter Pan about everything and not being able to reach his son in time. Sorry, that's a Hook reference for people who don't know what that is. That there's a seagull who's like flying low, and then he does his, the little drawing, and or not the drawing, but the, I think it was a word that he wrote on the
his poetry
on the boat. And so when we first saw that reference, I didn't understand that because it was drying, that meant there, I guess, that the air was light, so that's why it absorbed so quickly. But I like that they explained it towards the end of that. Mm-hmm. But then we get, because Yotun Cho is realizing, oh, okay, I think that the sails are open, that this is the moment he decides to tell his story. I don't know, how did you guys feel about that revelation of him, this thing that he's been holding so close to his chest for so long and doing this to kind of get the mayhem to stop? And how did you feel about the story overall?
So I really liked how Willoughby handled that. And also, mm-hmm. it felt appropriate. Like, he was sort of kind of trying to stall.
Mm-hmm.
And he realized that he kind of had to handle these people a certain way, mm-hmm. or else they were going to do something crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like he kind of did save the day in a way, because mm-hmm. he stalled just enough for them to realize that they were good to go.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, someone probably would have died.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad he did it, and I liked it that it turned out the way that it did, mm-hmm. but it did catch me off guard. Mm-hmm. The fact that, you know, Claire, who I'm assuming he has somewhat of a relationship with at mm-hmm. this point, right, asked to hear his story, and he's like, nope, mm-hmm. you know, like, not going to tell it.
Because then I have to let it go.
Right. And, mm-hmm. But then he kind of just comes out in the middle of nowhere and, like, tells this super yeah. personal story to all of these people that he doesn't know.
Yeah.
So that kind of caught me off guard, you know, just thinking as he's revealing his story, I'm like, okay, where is this going and why? You know, it just, mm-hmm. it kind of seemed like very, like, abrupt for that personal of a story. But I liked how he did it because, you know, it seemed like he was trying to save this man's life and mm-hmm. trying to save the crew from killing each other and from going after Jamie. And the fact that he had all of these reservations about people that were, you know, mm-hmm. racist towards him or mm-hmm. had given him hard times. And it was kind of like this really powerful moment, it turned out to be, that yeah. I wasn't expecting, you know? So I liked the way it turned out. But at the beginning, I was kind of thrown off as to what was happening.
Yeah, me too. At first, I was kind of like, Emperor? I'm like, is this real? And then I was like, wait a second, yes. And in his time, that would be a real story. It wouldn't be anything crazy. And as it kept going, I like they threw a bit of humor in it where he talks about not wanting to become a eunuch because he just, like, loved women so much. And he's, like, describing in this, poetically the body of a woman.
Yeah.
And all the sailors are like, yeah, like a peach.
I know. It's so weird.
Like, it's really weird. And Jamie and Claire are, like, smirking. And then, yeah, then it's, like, so sad when he talks about when he came over to the, you know, to Britain or the UK, or it was in the UK at the time, but he comes over to Scotland and how he's treated, and that he doesn't understand why he's been holding on for as long as he has, because he doesn't have the things that he used to have, his culture and his land, and so that's what inspires him to let go of the story. But then that also kind of made me feel like, I don't know, like it was just like it was used poorly.
Mm-hmm.
Because then when he throws the sheets and they blow in the wind and everyone's sailing away, everyone's yeah. happy again, and it's like, are we not going to talk about
yeah.
this blatant racism that this guy was just like laying down, this like really right. intense story? So I, to that extent, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I didn't like the way it was used in that way. But go ahead.
We have a couple of comments in the chat. So, first of all, Denise says, if Jamie comes to the future, I call dibs.
I don't know. We're going to have to fight over him.
And Terry Drosselmeyer says, much more racism in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth Brown, I loved Willoughby's speech.
Mm-hmm.
Terry says he was trying to distract and wait for rain. And Crystal Merritt says, I think that boy on the British boat is Jamie's son, the one that was to get the 12 men to help with the sick men. Interesting.
Hmm.
And then Crystal Merritt also says, Terry says, no, Crystal, it isn't his son.
That would be crazy if it was, though. Can you imagine Claire on a ship with him?
Really crazy.
Yeah. That would have been an interesting
pretty
twist.
Pretty sure all the men on that boat are going to die.
Age appropriate, though.
Yeah, it was age appropriate. Yeah. He would be, this point he'd be about 15, I think.
Yeah.
So before we go into the last part of the show to review, I want to talk a little bit about Vikings on History. History critically acclaimed series Vikings will premiere with a 2-season premiere airing Wednesday, November 29th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Season 5 begins with Ivar the Boneless asserting his leadership over the great heathen army, while Agrippa reigns as Queen of Kattegat. The season is full of startling alliances and unbelievable betrayals as the Vikings fight to rule the world. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers joins the cast as Bishop Hetman this season. Season 5 is 10 episodes, and Vikings is a critically acclaimed series from creator and sole writer Michael Hurst. Academy Award-winning film Elizabeth and Emmy and Golden Globe nominated series The Tudors are also two things he's written. So he's kind of a big deal. You guys, just putting that out there. History's hit drama series Vikings, will premiere November 29th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on History. Who will rise? Okay, so back to the show. So the family get the rain, and they're sailing. And I'm like, cool, let's just get to Jamaica.
Right?
I'm like, let's just go. It's been 3 months. They got to be there. And, of course, there's a British boat. And, of course, the British are like, you must stop for us because you're British and you are, you know, our people and we get to do whatever we want. And if we want to take your people, we can. So, Captain Leonard, I want to say that's the right name. Let me double check. The British captain. I'll say that till now. Captain Leonard. I was right. Captain Leonard.
All right.
Sometimes my brain doesn't work, you guys. Boards the ship to let everyone know that he doesn't need people. He needs a surgeon. And I knew it. I knew the moment he has that book. He's only going to ask for one thing, and it's going to be Claire.
Yeah, of course.
So how did you guys feel about that introduction of the British? I don't know. It feels like whenever the British are on the show outside of Claire, they're really annoying. I don't know.
I kind of expected that. I didn't know if they were going to kidnap her necessarily, but I knew that something really bad was going to happen. And I knew that she wasn't getting back on the boat anytime soon.
I thought that they were going to take Jamie before all of this revelation came about that everybody was sick. Jamie said to Claire, you know, if they take me, you have to promise me that you're going to go find young Ian. And she's like, yeah, you have my word. So I thought, okay, I know something was going to happen, and I knew they were going to split up because it's Jamie and Claire, and nothing ever works out for them. So I knew that something, they were going to get, you know, split up somehow. And then when he came on and he was talking about, you know, the sickness, I'm like, okay, Claire's the one that's going to go. And I could just sense that these people are not to be trusted. Mm-hmm. So as soon as she got on the ship, I'm like, she's not coming back. Like, there's just no way this is going to work out in anybody's favor.
Yeah.
And then when she said, I can stay for like another week. I'm like,
why would you say that? Yeah, don't you know? Say that.
Yeah. So I knew that was the downhill at that point. So.
Yeah, there was an air of desperation to Captain Leonard that when he first got on the boat, I felt like if she goes with him, he's just going to take her. And especially if they don't send anyone else over with her.
Yeah.
And I was kind of disappointed that they didn't, but I understand why they didn't as well. At the same time, they don't want any of their people getting sick and bringing over the illness. But yeah, that was kind of my expectation, is that they're really desperate. They don't know what to do. But also at the same time, I really get frustrated with Claire, because obviously this is a moment where her oath got in the way.
Yeah. And
sometimes you just gotta let them go, Claire. All right. Just tell them, you know what? If you already know what they need, you don't need to go and see it with your own eyes. You obviously know it's typhoid. She called it before she even got on the boat. Mm-hmm. Just say, yeah, you got typhoid. So what you're gonna do? This is what you're gonna do.
That's what I don't get. Right. And here's the thing, is when she went over there the resolution was basically, yeah, some of these guys are going to die. Sorry, most of them are going to die.
Yeah.
There wasn't much she could do. So in my mind, I'm like, why don't you just tell them, like, you know what the issue is.
Yeah.
Tell them how to treat it. Call it a day. Your oath is not worth your own life.
Exactly. Yeah. They have typhoid fever. They need fresh air. Most of them are going to die. Get to land as quickly as you can.
Yeah.
Make sure you get them a lot of boiled fluids, boiled water, done and done. Have a good day. Like, that's what my doctor would do. If I called my doctor and I described all my symptoms, I'd be like, okay, Adrienne, do this, this, and this. If it doesn't clear up in 2 to 4 days, call me and come into the office. And I'd be like, thank you for saving me money and time.
Yeah.
Claire,
yeah.
Come on. Come on, Claire. So she gets on the boat. It's gross. They're
sick.
Like,
it's disgusting.
Sitting in their own vomit and piss, and rats are running around.
I didn't think it could get more gross than what we were listening to on the first ship.
Yeah. Right, with Jamie throwing up. Yeah. Like, seeing Jamie throw up. Yeah, and then it did get worse.
Yeah, it got worse.
And
then it got worse.
When he said they have the blazing shits, and then she's like, I'm going to go see. I was like, oh, man.
Why? Trust their word. Don't go. Like,
you know what it is.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of where we left it. And so now they're split up again. Mm-hmm. Jamie is pissed. Captain Rains does not seem to care that Jamie is pissed. Let's just, before we get into predictions, how did everyone feel about Captain Rains? He seemed like the laziest captain in the world.
Yeah, he seemed like he didn't want to do anything, and he wasn't much of a captain because, you know, even Jamie's saying, like, do something, Claire's saying do something. He's mm-hmm. like, I don't really have any say. You know, so he didn't really seem like much of a captain to me, but it kind of threw me. With his demeanor and how everything was going. And then when Claire is on this other ship and she's like, oh, well, we're going to have to let Captain Rains and my husband know that I'm going to be a week later, you know, because I'm thinking this captain is not going to wait for you. Like, even if they didn't steal Claire or kidnap her, I really don't think this captain would have been like, oh, yeah, that's cool. We'll wait another week after all of this crazy stuff that's been happening. Yeah. Like, there's no way. So that was kind of weird.
And he probably would have thought she would have contracted it and been like, well, she's going to die anyway. So.
Yeah, he would have been like, this is part of the bad luck thing. You know, it would have gone back to all the superstitions and all that kind of stuff. So that was kind of weird. And yeah, he was kind of like a Weasley guy to me anyway, I thought, that. But I don't think he was really much of a captain or a leader at all. Yeah. So.
I didn't like the captain either. And I kind of feel like that's another thing is that her being over there, they would have started to think, oh, well, she's going to get this plague too. Mm-hmm. Because how is she going to explain an inoculation to them?
Mm-hmm.
Like Jamie is one thing. But to everyone else, I was worried that they would say, we're leaving her because she's been exposed.
Exactly. So... yeah, I think I'm annoyed that they're split up yet again.
Of course.
I spent 6 episodes with them split up, but whatever, fine. It's cool, fine, whatever. So let's go ahead and go into predictions.
Cool.
There we go.
It's a green light today.
Green light.
All right. Rachel, you want to start?
Yeah. So I feel like Jamie is obviously going to try to get the captain to follow them or something, and that maybe they won't meet up until Jamaica, kind of like what we saw. And at that point, see, I'm curious what the British captain is going to do, because he didn't seem like he was that bad, so it's not like he's going to, I guess, force her to stick around once they've landed, but... I'll be curious to see what happens with that and if he does try to, you know, I don't know, threaten her further.
Mm-hmm.
My prediction is that this is going to take a lot longer for them to get back together. Mm-hmm. I think this isn't going to be just like a week thing or whatever it is. I think it's going to be a while. But one of my questions, I guess, about it is that before they split up, Jamie said to Claire, you know, if we get split up, you have to promise me that you're going to go get Ian, right? Well, now that they're split up, it doesn't look like Jamie is going to go get Ian because he says to Fergus, if you help me... get, like, escape from here, then, you know, I'll give you the blessing with Larry's spawn. And, you know, and so I don't think, obviously, Jamie's just going to be like, all right, Claire, hope to meet you later, you know? So that's kind of interesting to me that he made Claire promise one thing, but yet he's not going to do that first. And nothing against him. I mean, I would do the same thing, but I'm just saying I thought that was kind of funny. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't have much of a prediction with this, but I think, it's going to be a little bit longer than we're expecting it to be.
I think that I don't think the Captain Leonard is going to be the issue. I think it's the cook that's going to be the issue.
Yeah,
that
was creepy
kind
cook.
Of just hinted at by yeah. even the preview. But they hinted at a lot this episode. So because I think all the people on that boat are going to die except Claire.
Oh, geez.
And she's going to end up getting shipwrecked and just climbing onto a random island that she doesn't know where she's at. So
yeah,
that's kind of where I think at least the next episode's going to go. And then I think the episodes after that are going to be about her getting back to Jamie. And then after that, maybe two episodes before the end of the season, they'll finally go look for Ian.
Here's a thought, too. What if it's not even an island? What if it's actually America that somehow she lands on? And
They're way
yeah,
off.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because they got to go like this. If they're in America, they just went like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so I don't know. It'll be exciting to see how everything goes next episode. And I'm not too thrilled about seeing Claire be on a boat with all men, and they're all gross and
I know.
And sick. And who knows, the last time they've seen a woman, and, you know, it makes me nervous because at least Jamie's there on the other boat because it's 1700s. And I mean, I guess it doesn't matter. It happens even now. Louis C.K. All right, so that wraps up this episode of Outlander. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. And where can they follow you all?
I'm Emily Harlan. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at OMG. It's MLE.
And I'm Rachel Goodman. You can follow me on Instagram or Twitter at Rach Goodman or on Facebook at Rachel Ann Goodman. I'm also the host of the AfterBuzz Young and the Restless show on Sunday nights right before the show.
Nice. All right. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. As always, please, please, please rate, subscribe, follow on the Insta, the Twitter, the YouTube, the iTunes. 5 stars. We really appreciate it anytime you're willing to leave a comment on iTunes saying how much you love us. We also do read the bad comments on YouTube. No worries. Live your life. It's your opinion. All right. So thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week. Stay sexy.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.